You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the latest edition of the FWA podcast here with William Hill. Big Premier League weekend coming up. Dave Kellner here in the studio, joined once again by one of the top football writers in the land. It's Martin Lipton from The Sun on the line this morning. First of all, a warm welcome. Good morning to you, Martin.
Good morning, David.
Let's start with the international break. A quick reflection on that, first of all, Martin. England performed well against Scotland and Spain, but the result against Spain wasn't what was desired, and they looked so good for 89 minutes of that match, Martin.
They did, and do you know what? The last 20 minutes of any friendly is an irrelevance. It really is, because they're completely disjointed by all the changes that are made. Whether that's a win or a defeat, I always take the view that internationals are about the first 65, 70 minutes. In that regard, England played extremely well. They were two up against, admittedly, a shadow Spain team, but it was not exactly a full-strength England team. And I thought there was an intelligence about the display against a team that was always going to have the majority of possession, which boded very well for the future. And in fact, in many ways, that was a far more interesting and positive and incisive performance than the one against Scotland, which was a game which they should have won and did win against a fairly ordinary at best Scottish team. I thought England came out of the break, on the pitch at least, in a far better shape than they went into it.
Is Gareth Southgate the right man for the job?
Well, he's the only man for the job, so yes. Look, he's going to be the next England manager full-time through to the World Cup and hopefully beyond if he does well in the World Cup. I've got a stake in this to a degree. I've known Gareth for a long, long time, over 20 years. I mean, I ghosted him during Euro 96. That's how far back we go. I've always been a huge fan of his. I've always believed he was a future England manager. And I'm certainly not going to criticise him for taking the job now. I'm not going to criticise the FA for offering him the job now. The England manager should be an Englishman. I've changed my mind on that. I didn't used to think that was a necessity. Post Capello, post Ericsson, I altered my position. The England manager should be English. I think Gareth Southgate would do a very good job.
Do you think he's got the players to succeed in a World Cup, or do you think we're looking for some of the younger guys to come through now?
Well, look, the quality of the players, the talent of the players has always been there. What they lack is the right emotional state, the right mental preparation. Too often, English players go onto the pitch in a tournament wearing metaphorical straitjackets, and you can't run if you're wearing a straitjacket. They have to learn to free their minds, not be overcome by the fear of failure. And they have to win a penalty shootout at some point, because that would clear the logjam from their heads. But, you know, we were very disappointed again in the summer. I thought they actually played pretty well. But in each game, they got worse the longer the game went on. And by the end, they were a bedraggled mess against Iceland. And if they kept their heads, they'd have won that game, as they should have done. They were not good enough because they were mentally frail. Let's just see where we go. I think there's enough quality there for them to, if they get on a roll, they can be a decent team. But they're still only a quarter-final team. Mm. I can't see anything to suspect they're beyond that. And for the last few tournaments, they've not even been that.
It's back to the Premier League this weekend, Martin, and we start off with a belter at Old Trafford on Saturday lunchtime, Manchester United versus Arsenal. Manchester United 8-5 here with William Hill. The draw is 23-10 with Arsenal 7-4. The enhanced odds, Wayne Rooney to score and Manchester United to win, was 16-5. That's been enhanced to 4-1. And Mesut Ozil to score and Arsenal to win was 5-1. Now 7-1. No love lost between these two managers, Jose Mourinho and Arsene Wenger. And Mourinho's always had the best of it down the years. He's actually never been beaten by Wenger in the Premier League. They've faced each other 11 times and Mourinho's won 5, with 6 ending in draws. This looks a good opportunity, though, for Arsenal. They've started the season much better than Manchester United.
No, they have, unquestionably. And Wenger would love to end that run of failing to beat Mourinho in a competitive match. I mean, the only victory over him was in the Charity Shield at the start of last season, and that is a friendly. You know, any red cards don't count. It's therefore not a competitive game, whatever people want to say about it. He does need to beat Mourinho to lay that ghost and bury that hoodoo. If he does, if he can win the game on Saturday, it will be a huge step forward in terms of Arsenal's belief in themselves as a potential title-winning side. No Ibrahimovic, of course, which definitely aids them. He's looked to have found his feet again with that double against Swansea. Whether he'll play Rooney in the light of A, the injury, and B, the off-field allegations is another issue. And there's a suggestion this morning that there may be Rashford who plays up front. Although I have to say, watching him for England in midweek, A, he didn't seem to have the right pair of boots on, and B, didn't seem to know where he was running, which is a bit disappointing. But I still think he's a really talented young boy. United will not want to lose. If United lose, and that's the, you know, I'm not saying they're out of the title race, but they'll be an awful long way out, a long way off the pace, particularly given the way that Chelsea and Liverpool are playing at the moment, and City seem to be finding their feet as well. So it's a big game for both teams, and it is one where each of them will feel they can lay down a real marker.
Why do you think Wenger has such a poor record against Mourinho? Is it his failure to adapt to the situation, or is it more a mental thing?
I think actually mainly because most of those games, Mourinho's had a better team.
Yeah.
It sort of gives it away. And he got into their heads. Arsenal was so desperate to beat Mourinho's Chelsea that they overcommitted. And Chelsea were very adept, at taking advantage of that, sitting and then hitting and taking advantage of the holes often behind the wide midfielders or even behind the fullbacks occasionally. And Mourinho will look to do the same thing again. And he will feel that Arsenal haven't really changed in their approach, that they are vulnerable if you let them have the ball. Mourinho's always believed that you're most weak when you have the ball. He loves to play counter-attack. This will be a game where counter-attack may be a very useful tool, albeit at home where the United fans will expect their team to dominate. It won't be that sort of game. I suspect that Arsenal will have the majority of possession just at a 55-45, and United will be happy to sit and hit.
You mentioned Wayne Rooney and Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Ibrahimovic definitely out for Saturday's game, suspended. We're recording this on Thursday morning, and Wenger's going to make an announcement on Friday whether Alexis Sanchez will be able to play in this match. That's going to be big as far as the outcome of this game is determined, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, as a rule, Wenger doesn't like playing players who've just come back and had one day's training from international duty, particularly when they've travelled as far as Sanchez has from Chile to come home. He won't get back until late Thursday afternoon. He'll try and train Friday. But he's such a key player that if he's right, he'll play. I suspect that if it was a Saturday evening game or a Sunday game, there'll be no doubt about Sanchez. The fact that it's Saturday at 12:15 or 12:30, having only had a short training session before they go up on Friday night, may make him think again, and it will be a big call. And certainly, I think if Sanchez doesn't play, United will be boosted and bolstered. But if he's not right, then it would be a mistake to play him. And also, we know he was carrying that injury into that game on Tuesday night. And if there's any minor issue there, flying for 13 hours is going to exacerbate and aggravate that issue.
What's the prediction then, Martin, for this game on Saturday lunchtime?
I suspect a 1-1 draw. I don't know where the price is, but I think I can't see Arsenal winning because of that hold that Mourinho has on him. But I do think they can get a result and get a point.
The 1-1 draw is 6-1 here with William Hill, which looks like a decent price. 6-1 on the 1-1 draw. Saturday tea time, we've got Tottenham versus West Ham. Tottenham 11-20 to win this game. The draw 3-1 with West Ham 5-1. A couple of enhanced odds offers revolving around Harry Kane. Kane to score any time was even money. It's now 5-4. And Kane to score and Tottenham to win was 13-10. It's now 6-4. Despite being the only unbeaten side in the Premier League, Spurs have now gone 7 games without a win. And the last time that happened to Spurs was way back in May 2004. So Mauricio Pochettino will be desperate for his team to get 3 points. And they're coming up against a West Ham side that have struggled away from home this season, Martin.
Yeah, I mean, the last time Spurs won a game, Hillary Clinton was nailed on to be US president. Things have changed a bit since then. Yeah, they need a win, unquestionably. Look, they've missed key players, and they've still got 5 or 6 players with injury doubts over them heading into Saturday. You know, Alderweireld, they're hoping to have him fit. I know that Alderweireld Kane, Lamella and Ali were all on the training ground yesterday. It doesn't mean they're going to be fit. And Dembele and Eriksen got injuries when they were away as well. So they're key players. And Potts would like to have at least five of those, I suspect, available. Tottenham do need a win. Kane's return against Arsenal, even though he wasn't fully fit, gave them far better definition. It also meant they could play through the middle rather than only out wide, which was a problem they had when Janssen was a striker, because centre-half weren't worried about letting him drop because they didn't think he could hurt them, even though I think he worked quite hard. West Ham haven't had a great season, there's no question of that. They'd love to get something out of it. The Spurs' desperation to win is key. Also, they need to get themselves back in track because they have to win in midweek in the Champions League to stay in it as well in Monaco. They need to get a win. It's as critical as that. They're 5 points off the pace, which is not insurmountable, clearly, and they are unbeaten, which is a testament to the solidity of them at the back, but they need to get back on winning track.
And as far as West Ham are concerned, they look to have made some mystifying moves in the transfer window in the summer. That's not gone, I don't think, how Slaven Bilic will have planned.
No, it's been odd. I mean, people like Zaza and Toure and a few others just simply haven't worked. I mean, Masuaku then got injured. The other boy they bought, the Ghanaian, Ayew's been injured since the start of the season. He's not played. They have been a bit unfortunate with an array of injuries, but also performance hasn't been great. The home fans, we know, have not been happy with a variety of things ongoing at the London Stadium, and it's not been quite what was wanted. We are getting a bit of second-season syndrome, perhaps. That doesn't mean it's all going to fall apart, but West Ham need to start winning games. They need to stop conceding goals. They conceded far too many. Look at that number. I think it's 19 they conceded. That's why they're in trouble, and they are in trouble.
Prediction, Tottenham, West Ham?
I'm afraid that 40 years of supporting Tottenham Hotspur, or 45 years of supporting Tottenham Hotspur, makes one at best pessimistic. I can see this one ending in a draw as well, I'm afraid.
3-1, the draw. Big price on the draw, given Tottenham are heavy odds on to win that game on Saturday at 5:30. Let's look at Sunday's game. Middlesbrough versus Chelsea is a 4 p.m. kickoff. And Middlesbrough 6-1, the draw 3-1 with Chelsea in the market at 1-2. Ever since Antonio Conte, Martin, implemented that 3-4-3 formation and allowed Eden Hazard that freedom that he desires, they've looked good, Chelsea. They've won their last five in the Premier League without conceding. And they travel to Middlesbrough full of vim and vigour and optimism now.
Absolutely. 16 goals scored in those five games. They look a really good unit. There's a certainty about them defensively because three becomes a five and switches again depending on who's in possession. The latitude it gives to Pedro and Hazard not to have to track back helps. And they've looked a really useful unit, no question. They're not potential title contenders, if not potential champions, the way they're playing. Them and Liverpool are the two form teams. There's no question of that at the moment. And they will be looking to extend that run. Although Middlesbrough had a little better run themselves recently, picked up some good points and big points. And Karanka's no fool. He's a smart cookie, and he'll be used to playing against a back three. He's done it before. He's played in back three. He's played against back three. It won't be a shock to the system. Everyone will now know what Chelsea are doing. They've had, you know, another 10 days or so to think about how they would stop Chelsea, which is unusual because normally you go from game to game and no time to think. Karanka and for next week Pochettino would have had more time to consider how they're going to play against Chelsea. And that will be a test into how Chelsea adapt when teams adapt to them. We'll see how that works.
You mentioned there Chelsea and Liverpool, the two form teams. Do you expect at the business end of the title race those two to be battling it out, or do you see Manchester City, Arsenal being involved?
I think all of those four can be involved. I think Spurs could still have a say. I mean, if United were to beat Arsenal, they'd think themselves were in the mix. I think it's a fascinating, hopefully title race that will go all the way to May. I'd love to go into late April with five winners potentially still on the table. That'd be fantastic for everyone, particularly for my industry. We love that uncertainty. So the great thing about the Premier League at the moment is that whilst there are some great teams, each game you never know. A few years ago there were seven or eight games you knew the result before kickoff. Now there's probably two each weekend where you can be fairly confident about the result. That's a real positive. This will be a really tough game for Chelsea, but I think they are a very good team. And they are genuine contenders. But as are, as I said, Liverpool, Arsenal, City, maybe Spurs, and even maybe United.
If you think Chelsea can win this game to nil, that's available at 7-5 here with William Hill. What's your scoreline going to be in this one?
I fancy Chelsea to win 2-0. I'm not sure that Middlesbrough quite got the armoury to hurt them, although I think they're a decent team. Chelsea are playing really confidently at the moment. As long as they get all their players back in decent nick, and they've travelled far and wide over the last few days, I think they'll be in a good place to go into this game and win it.
Chelsea to win 2-0 is available at 13-2. The weekend finishes with West Brom versus Burnley. Monday 8 p.m. West Brom 19-20, the draw 9-4, and at Burnley 16-5. The enhanced odds: Chris Brunt to score and West Brom to win was 18-5, now 5-1, and Sam Vokes to score and Burnley to win was 6-1, now 8-1. We've got two of the hardest working sides going head to head on Monday night. I think these, as far as the distance run, the two clubs so far this season, I think Burnley are the hardest working side and West Brom the third hardest working side in the league. And I said in one of the previews that Sky are probably going to have to up their work rate as well to get the casual viewer interested in this one, Martin, because it's not exactly a glamour fixture for Monday night football.
Yeah, a thing of beauty is not one to suspect. But then again, even an ugly duckling can turn into a beautiful swan, and I think that's what Sky will be hoping for. It won't be pretty. Both teams work hard. You have to suggest that the odds favour the home side, just because Burnley get all their points at Turf Moor. I think they've got 1 point out of their 14 away from home so far, and you know, away results are hard to get for them. But then again, any promoted team's salvation is going to be based mainly on their home form, and they seem to have cracked that at this juncture. You know, with West Brom, they'll stay up because they've got the best stay-up manager in the league in Tony Pulis. He's terrific at getting what has to be. You know, even if you started him with minus 10 points, he'd find a way to get to 40, you think. It's just what he does. And you know, this is the sort of game that West Brom tend to win because it's a game that they will see as a critical part of their path to 40, 41 points. They'll be worried about Rondon. I think he missed a game for Venezuela, and they'll want to have him back. They'll have, we know we still haven't got Berahino for all sorts of reasons, it would appear. But they are, you know, they're picking up points as they do. And they, you know, they lost, admittedly, they lost to City the other week, but I mean, most teams will lose to City over the season. In the main, they're a pretty decent outfit, and, you know, they'll be fairly confident of getting something out of this.
Do you think West Brom win to nil?
I can see it being 2-1 to West Brom. I think that sort of score, maybe 2-0, but I think they'll win. And Burnley's wait for the first win away from home back in the Premier League may have to go on a little bit.
West Brom to win the game 2-1, available at 8-1. Martin, thank you for your company on this podcast.
No trouble.
If you want to follow Martin on Twitter, you can do. It's at Martin Lipton, and you can follow myself at D Kellner. Check out all the odds at williamhill.com or on the app by clicking on the Premier League page. And we'll be back with more FWA chat on next week's podcast on Thursday or Friday. Thank you for listening, folks, and we'll speak again soon.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.